to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Dear listeners, Sairam from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet. I am Team Radio Sight Bishu, and the month of November has begun. Today is November 9th. Such a beautiful Divine Thursday, and at the very outset, I am grateful to Bhagwan for giving me this opportunity to restart OIDI, Outside Inside, Deep Inside, now in the mornings every week at this time, 11:30 to 12:30. Well, this was not planned, it just happened. I can only think of it as a huge blessing conferred on me to ruminate on him and to share his love and message. And now what is thick in the air in Prashantinilam as we await the 92nd birthday celebrations of our beloved Bhagwan? This year, this divine hamlet is going to witness an event like of which it had never seen before. For the first time, we are going to have a two-day international Veda conference on November 22nd, November 20th and 21st, 2017. And in this sacred space on earth, every day, you hear Veda chants. Prashantinilam begins with the resonating chants of Vedic hymns, but never before we had a conference of this type. In fact, when you think about Prashanti, what resonates in your mind are the beautiful bhajans and the beautiful morning Vedam, as you also hear the birds chirping and the sun slowly rising.
Shravastamam Jeshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanasmata Ana Rinvanno Devese Dasadhanam Rano Deve Sarasvate Pate Bhin Pajane Pate Dhe Nama Vestriyamato Ganeshaya Namaha Sarasvate Namaha Shri Guru Bhyo Namaha Hare Hare
Right from the early days of Prashantinilam, there was no event or function not accompanied with the chants of Vedic mantras. In those days, of course, there were no students, but there were Vedic priests and scholars who chanted these hymns every single day in Prashantinilam as they circumambulated the Prashantinilam Mandir. And it was always chanted by them on the stage whenever there was a special occasion. And in 1962, Bhagwan, who was so keen that students should be part of this, started the Sri Satya Sai Veda Pathashala, an institution only to teach Vedic mantras to young hearts and minds. And on that occasion, when Bhagwan inaugurated this institution, he said, "This Vedic school will one day grow into a university, establishing branches wherever there are other types of universities now. It will confer cool green shade on all." He went on and said, "My mission, remember, is fourfold. The fostering of Vedas, Veda Poshana. The fostering of Vedic scholars, Vidvat Poshana. Protection of virtue, Dharma Samrakshana. And protection of devotees, Bhakta Samrakshana." So this is the mission of Bhagwan as declared by him on that occasion when he started the Veda Pathashala, and he said, "These four missions will go in four directions, spreading my grace and my power, and I will establish myself in the center. So Bhagwan's mission clearly is dharma, sansthapana, restoration of righteousness, but it is to be done through the revival of the Vedas. Bhagwan said on that day, faith can grow only on the soil of dharma. And for this soil of dharma, we need the subsoil, the fertile subsoil of Vedas. The saga of Vedic revival by the Sri Sathya Sai Avatar is a long, beautiful and exciting story, and we thought it would be lovely to capture some snippets of it, as thousands of devotees everywhere are now preparing for months. Actually, they have been preparing for months for this grand event in Prashantinilayam. So what you're going to listen today is the first part of a panel discussion. Sai Prema Vedodharana. Vedodharana is Sai Prema. So this discussion on Vedic learning and Vedic chanting in Prashantinilayam was done just 2 days ago, and we had 4 alumni of Bhagwan's University who participated in this lovely discussion which went on for nearly 2 hours. 2 of the participants, Mr. Vednarayan and Mr. Shivshankar Sai, they have been there right from the 70s, from the time Bhagwan urged the students of his colleges to take to Vedic learning. So they were there when the Vedic movement with students began in Prashantinilayam, once Bhagwan started the campuses of his university, though the university formally came later in 1981. So how did this happen? What motivated the students then to chant these mantras? Who taught them? And how Bhagwan was subtly, covertly and overtly motivating them to chant the mantras? And what was his emphasis all the time? So we will dwell on these interesting stories, these interesting questions, these interesting tales that are now part of the Sri Sathya Sai Vedic learning legacy. So apart from Vednarayan sir and Shivshankar Sai sir, we also have Mr. Praveena from the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School, who has been doing the Vedam tutor sessions on Radio Sai in the evenings before the bhajan tutor sessions. And we also have, along with these 3 senior alumni, Brother Ganesh, part of our Telugu Radio Sai stream, who also is a member of the Prashanti Vedam group and conducts the Vedam tutor on Radio Sai. So we'll have these 4 alumni in this panel discussion, taking us back in time to those days when Bhagwan started the Vedic movement ball rolling in Prashantinilayam. So that's what you're going to hear in this first part, in this first hour of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, after a small gap of this program. So in this episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, Sai Prema Vedodharana.
Prema Swarupulara.
Embodiments of love.
Shanti ni lopala unnadi kani bayata ledu.
Peace is within, not outside.
Outside, no peace, only pieces.
Sairam and welcome Vednarayan sir, Shivshankar Sai sir, Praveena sir and Brother Ganesh to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside.
Sairam.
Thank you, Sairam.
This is probably the first time on Radio Sai that we have so many senior alumni who have been personally shaped by Bhagwan and guided by him to be part of the Vedic learning and chanting in Prashantinilayam, converging to discuss about our love for Bhagwan, Bhagwan's love for Veda, and which extrapolated into our love for Veda. And
exactly.
So let's just go back in time and ruminate on how that love that brought us closer to Bhagwan, that got us attached to Bhagwan, Swami ensured that our attachment also was as strong to Vedam. Bhagwan very beautifully once said that my prema towards the Vedas is matched only by my prema towards humanity. And I think that's what Bhagwan did to all of us when we think, our love to Bhagwan became matched with our love to Veda, our love for Vedas. That's how Bhagwan transformed our lives. And today you have, it is not just the Sai students, you have the entire Sai fraternity and even people from different countries, people who may not be so-called on the paper Sai devotees, but have taken so much to Vedic learning and Vedic chanting and understanding the importance and relevance of it now. I think there is such a resurgence of awareness about the importance of Vedic chanting in today's times. So I thought it would be very nice if we can pray to Bhagwan and discuss about this love for him and his message. So can we begin with you, Vednaran sir, if you can share how Bhagwan brought you onto this path.
Thank you, Bishu, for the beautiful introduction, what you started with. It was in the year 1968 that I had the great privilege, with the supreme grace of Swami, to come to Prashantinilayam. What greatly attracted me was the Veda Padashala at that time.
Mm-hmm.
The set of boys, they were the privileged ones who used to walk into Swami's room.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, they used to spend time there. And just before Swami's darshan, these boys used to come out. And in front of those time, there is no Sai Kulwant Hall, it is all filled with sand. And you have the center stupa, a little stupa,
yes,
a circle.
Yes.
Over there.
With a Ganesha statue.
A Ganesha statue. Yes. Initially, yes, before the Ganesha statue, in that there used to be a Shivalingam there.
Oh, oh, is
that
it?
Was, that Shivalingam was attached to that railing.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to call that Sai Geeta Shivalingam because Sai Geeta used to stay just on the lady's side.
Initially.
Small, initially.
Yes.
And every day she used to go for bath in Chitravati because those were the time Chitravati used to always, it was a live river that
yes.
time. After the bath, I still remember because she was so energetic because she was a more of a calf then.
Mm.
And the speed with which she used to come running for Swami and she straight used to go in front of the Shivalingam. Three
oh.
times she used to pay
wow.
obeisance to the Shivalingam.
Oh, wow.
Then she will go for pradakshinam. And three times again she will do pradakshinam. And so that was the Shivalingam. Every day morning after bath, Sai Geeta used to come and worship.
Wow.
And we the devotees, we had the privilege that early in the morning, around 3:30, we were allowed to do parikrama for the mandir itself.
Mm-hmm.
So every day we used to do the pradakshinam for the mandir.
Yes.
And of course, the Shivalingam used to be our place to submit all our prayers. And you won't believe, Prishti, any time when we had a desire and prayed for, Swami's response was, during that darshan time, Swami used to fulfill that desire. That was the type of bond.
It was like a kamadhenu.
Correct. Absolutely, you said it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was during that period of time, what I found was, these set of boys, they were totally privileged. So I asked my father then, can I also join the Veda Padashala? Then father was little bit hesitant to leave his son, in Prachandana. He said, we will see.
You were in school then?
I was already studying in Kerala at that time. Maybe I was in my second standard probably.
Okay. Oh, at second standard you wanted to be in Paradi?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But see that prayers, I used to pray to Swami, Swami, please make me a student in Veda Padashala. As it is always said, God's delays are never his denials. I think Swami was waiting for the chance. Whenever we have prayed for something positive to God, God always gives us. There may be delays in life, but definitely He fulfills that. So later, I had the great good fortune of joining Swami's college in 1976. After joining Swami's college, you know, that was the time when there was still, of course, Swami created these educational institutions. See, I should slightly digress here and tell you that. The Veda Padashala of those days, what had happened? The children, when they have completed the Vedic education, when they went out, they found it very difficult to cope up with the external world.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, there is a lot of competition in the external world, and to do any other job other than the Vedic learning. So it was very, very difficult for them. So Swami felt the need for secular education and the worldly education to go hand in hand. I think that is probably why Bhagavan started these colleges, because Swami knows that if you ask parents to give their children for the Vedic learning, I think none of the parents will really think of sparing their children.
I remember, I directly heard Swami telling this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Saying that if I ask the parents to send for the education which I want to give, nobody will send. And that's the reason why I had to close down the Vedic Pathshala and then start an university. Mm. So that under the garb of this secular education, I can call all of them. Unless they come to me, how do I change? God telling that.
I think that was
the physical change which, physical kinship which He wanted to give. Obviously can come only when we are near to Him.
That's where we can really think about one of the important objectives of His own mission, Veda Poshana.
Absolutely.
And Swami also is to, I still remember, Swami gave the example of Lord Krishna.
Mm.
When Krishna used to play mischief,
yes,
Yashoda wanted to catch hold of Lord Krishna, but Krishna used to be too smart. He used to run very fast and hide. So somehow Yashoda wanted to catch little Krishna. So what she used to do?
Butter on the hand.
Butter. So she used to show butter in the right hand.
Yes.
So seeing the butter, Krishna, I'll give you butter, come.
Mm.
But in the left hand, she used to hide the stick behind her. So when Krishna used to come closer to her, naturally Yashoda used to catch hold of him and used to thrash him.
Mm.
So here also, Swami actually wanted to give the spiritual education for His children.
Yes.
So, but He has to show the butter of the worldly education in front so that He can in turn impart the spiritual education which actually He had come to give.
And so, this Vedic learning itself is a part of that holistic spiritual education which Swami wants us all to imbibe.
But initially when we joined, of course there was no Vedic chanting as per se in the hostel curriculum. So it all happened in one of the Dasaras. Those were the beautiful days that even for Shivaratri and Dasara, Swami is to do the Vibhuti Abhishekam over the Shirdi Baba idol.
Hmm.
Swami Himself used to do Abhishekam for the Shirdi Baba idol. And after that, He used to do the Vibhuti Abhishekam from an empty urn.
Yes.
The moment He used to touch, torrents of Vibhuti in the form of a rain, it used to come on the Shirdi Baba statue. The beauty of it is, the moment Swami used to withdraw His hand, it used to stop.
Hmm.
And the moment He used to touch again, it used to come again. So
we have seen those videos of these celebrations in Prashantilam. Are you referring to the ones in Prashantilam or it just happened in Vrindavan also?
No. In Prashantilam. And those were the good old days that for every festival, the Vrindavan boys used to come.
Okay.
And we all used to be here for the festival. And another beautiful thing is that especially this Veda Padashala boys used to be on the stage during that period of time. And when Swami used to materialize this Vibhuti, from that instantaneously even lockets, small conches all these things used to fall. Oh. And the children who used to sit around, these Vedapadshala boys, they used to collect all these things.
Wow.
So that was another attraction. So Bhagavan, and after the Vedapadshala was over, when our college's thing started, then once Swami was doing the Vibhuti Abhishekam, suddenly he looked at us. We were of course sitting in the front portion of Purnachandra auditorium. Swami looked towards us and asked, "Can anyone of you chant Rudram? Come on to the stage." My God, we had not learned, and what a disappointment for us. Imagine Swami has asked those who know Vedam, come on to the stage, and none of us learned at that time anything. That was something which we lost for our lives, a life-given opportunity gone forever. So we felt that somehow we have to learn this.
That so was at that point in time, only the Vedapadshala boys learned Vedam. The other boys had no training, no learning of Vedam.
Because by the time we joined, it was 1976. Vedapadshala is already closed.
Closed. Okay.
He was referring to both the previous
and the post.
Yes. So there was nobody on the stage. You are saying earlier the Vedapadshala.
The Vedapadshala used to be there. It used to be there.
Only the pandits used to be there on the stage. Even I was there at that time because we both belonged to the same.
So there was a period when the Vedapadshala closed down.
Yes.
And then there was no Vedic chanting.
Not much. Happened. Only these pandits would come, and Kamavadanagaru used to be there. Every festival, every function, the invocation was done by Kamavadanagaru.
By the priest?
By the priest.
He used to chant alone, I think.
Alone, he used to chant.
In fact, before every speech, first Kamavadanagaru has to do the invocation, then only Swami is to give his speech. Anywhere. It was a standard procedure for years. Mm-hmm. For years.
And I remember one small thing. No, Swami would say stop, and Kamavadanagaru, you know, being the very traditional person, unless the passage gets over, no, he would not stop. suppose if he's in the middle of the second paragraph of Rudram, unless the second paragraph is completed, he would not stop. And Swami would turn towards the boys and then make faces.
And because of that, Swami used to take Kamavadanagaru everywhere, wherever he used to go. For any function or any trip, one place is reserved for Kamavadanagaru. Because if Swami has to give speech, he has to give the invocation.
Wow. Fantastic. Just like Vedam was part of Bhagwan's discourse.
Yes.
Almost.
Yes.
But those days, the only Vedam thing that was available in Prashantinilayam was the early morning hours before Nagar Sangirtan, the Veda Parayana session which used to go on. It used to start, and those were the days there is no Ganesha temple. Ganesha temple and all came much afterwards. So around that place, the Vedam used to start from inside the mandir itself. In fact, I remember that Kamavadanagaru, while coming out after Omkar and Suprabhadam, from the veranda, the moment he touches down, he used to start off. I still remember. And those were the days even devotees were allowed. Whoever wants to go behind for the Veda Parayanam, they can all go join.
Led by Kamavadanagaru.
Yes. And this used to go on. I still remember, because I was small, holding my father's finger, I used to walk around. And the entire route used to be after completing the usual circle where the Nagar Sangeetanam also goes on. There is a Padashala block. There used to be small rooms used to be there. That is where actually the Padashala, Veda Padashala used to be there. So
that's why it's called Padashala block.
They used to go and sit there, and they used to continue. Chanting.
After completing the round.
They used to continue to chant sitting there. So we can sit as long as we want, and we can hear. Or whenever we want, we can get up and come.
Oh, wow. How many students used to be there, sir, initially?
Initially, there was only around 10 to 12.
I think that's how Veda Purusha started this Veda Patashala and then ignited this light of learning Veda in everybody, which continued later on. And now you can see thousands of students and the devotees now getting ready for this big conference.
And when Swami inaugurated the Veda Patashala with this 12 handful of boys in 1962.
By the way, he belongs to Veda Patashala.
our Ramakrishna Reddy.
Ramakrishna Reddy, sir of higher secondary school, studied in Veda Pathshala.
Oh, wow. So he's someone who has migrated from Veda Pathshala, first to Vedam education, then secular education.
Swami has shown the correct way of
Even actually inauguration of the first Veda Pathshala discourse, Swami says that one day this will become a university. Just imagine having 10 students, somebody is making a declaration that it will become a university.
Nobody
naturally,
believed it
nobody believed at that point of time, because 1962 was a time when there were no roads, no vehicles used to be there. And at that time, the only things that were available is barren hills, not even greeneries. And there were thorny bushes. I still remember as a small boy, you know, I used to, whenever the Mandir Darshan Bhajan session is over, the afternoon times, my favorite pastime is to run around the all, climb all the hills, full of thorns. And nothing but shrubs, thorny shrubs. You can't see anything else.
On the hills. And then I used to go around this side and then pick up groundnuts.
Fresh groundnuts.
Fresh groundnuts.
I don't know whether you remember that. Those days, you know the Hanuman temple?
Yes.
If you want to walk to the Hanuman temple, evening after 6 o'clock, it is like a ghost town. Nobody will come out of their room, because I still remember that. From the Mandir gate to the Hanuman temple, the left side used to be open, filled with water. Filled with water, I still remember. And the water, because of the wind, it is like an ocean. Continuously, water used to, especially the wind passes through the water. Now the sound which used to create, which used to scare everyone. And you won't believe, the Chitravati used to flow, touching the walls of the Hanuman temple. And poor mother Chitravati has to really retreat back to the encroachment, what we devotees have done on her for building our own houses. Otherwise, I still remember the beautiful days when every day morning after the Nagara Sankirtanam, we all used to rush to the Mandir inside. And in the 6 o'clock darshan, Swami is to come in the balcony. And from the eastern side, there is no East Prashanthi at that time. You can see the Chitravati River straight. Imagine a time when no building existed whatsoever. You can see, and the sun will be rising over the mountains, which used to fall on Swami's face. Such a glorious moment. One sunrise on the eastern side, another sunrise on the top of Prashanthi Nilayam.
Wow.
Beautiful it used to be.
I think Bhagwan has now made such a barren land into a center of Vedic learning. Where now we can see thousands of students, right from the very young children, starting from first class till the all the college students, then UG, PG, even PhD scholars also involved, interested in learning Vedic mantras and getting the Vedic wisdom.
In fact, I was seeing the first discourse that Swami gave on the occasion of the inauguration of the Veda Pathshala, 1962, 23rd November. There Swami says that Vedic scholars have to grow in numbers for the sake of promotion of dharma. So long as Vedic scholars are produced and honored, so long the Vedas will remain green in the hearts of men. And that is what is Dharma Sthapana, Swami says. And there he says, my task is to open your eyes to the glory of the Vedas and to convince you that Vedic injunctions, when put into practice, will yield you the promised results.
I think that itself talks volumes about the importance of learning Vedas and also the importance of keeping a Veda Poshana during this time.
So that remark from Bhagwan that any of you who can chant Vedam can come onto the stage is what lifted you onto.
Absolutely.
I think from that day onwards, you probably waited for the day when you will get the chance to be on stage. Is it that?
Yes. Then we went back to Vrindavan. Then I think few boys seriously got into the learning mode of chanting Vedas. But for me, I had to wait, because my this thing was to immediately learn Vedas. But being from a traditional family, my parents told, I am not allowed to learn Vedas unless the Upanayanam ceremony is over. Mm-hmm. Upanayanam is a sacred thread. Yes. Ceremony is over. So I was waiting for that. It was in only 1978, Bhagavan, out of his mercy, he did the Upanayanam ceremony in the college library.
In
that hall in Vrindavan, that was, of course, that has not yet started. So that hall was free and Bhagavan was gracious enough. And I still remember chanting the Gayatri. Swami put the sacred thread.
Oh, wow.
And though it was a mass Upanayanam, initially Swami announced that those who have come with parents, they can put the threads on their... Those vatus whose parents have not come, Swami will personally go and put the this thing.
You don't know whether it's a blessing or not.
No, they started off. Fortunately, I was also there. And my parents also came in the 78. Mm. And then, naturally, every parent also wanted Swami to put it. They stopped putting. Once they started Swami seeing and putting and then coming to the row, immediately they stopped. For us also, Swami only put that.
Yes. Oh, wow. All of us, we got that. Wow. And also, Swami was chanting the Rekhnyopavidam Paramam Pavitram. Swami was chanting that.
Swami was chanting that.
And he put the... Of course, then I remember in the mic, he did the Gayatri for everybody to repeat. Dr. Gokak also was there. He was translating.
Dr. Gokak was there.
Your physical parents asked you to wait so that the divine parent can initiate you onto Vedam.
Yes.
And that's how it happened. I mean, he started with Gayatri Mantra.
The very fact that Swami was doing these rituals which are ordained in Vedas itself shows Swami's involvement in upholding the dharma, the Vedic dharma, and then propagation of these Vedic rituals.
Absolutely.
Though Swami says that we have to go beyond that, but he is never against them.
Yes.
He wants us to understand even the meaning of those rituals.
Yes, yes. As Swami says, I mean, you can go beyond the body through the body.
Through the body.
So, you have to go through these traditions because they have been laid down by all.
And they are meant for all sorts of people.
Yes.
Everyone may not be in a position to understand the inner meaning of that.
Hmm.
And there will be nobody to even tell them.
Yes.
So, but you have to go through the ritual, but our culture itself survived because of these traditions.
Absolutely.
Right, for thousands of years.
Absolutely. So, when you came back to Vrindavan, so did you have a teacher to teach you?
Yes. Initially, we were trying to find out how we can learn. And it was during that period of time, whenever there was a program in Vrindavan, our Sanskrit teacher, revered Chandrasekhar Avadhani, he is the only person who used to chant Vedam. So, we requested him. And he readily agreed. And initially, he used to come. In fact, he used to stay in the city. Early in the morning, he used to come for our sake. And we used to find time just at least 15 minutes before the morning, our college hours. Lunch time, we used to go early, finish our lunch.
No, in fact, we
used to go late.
We used to have pre-college Vedam learning. That is, the train would come at 8:30, at 8:45 or something, and our college would be at 9:30. So he would come all the way to teach the students who were interested. I was also belonging to the same batch. And then immediately after the classes is to get over 12 o'clock. So before lunch, lunch would be served only at 12:30. By the time we go there and then settle down slowly, you know, it used to take. So the 10 minutes which we used to grab. So 12 to 12:10 we used to have a pre-lunch Vedic learning session. Go have lunch, post-lunch and
post-lunch. We used to run
post-lunch
and come back.
Before actually classes start in the afternoon.
Oh my God.
And then we enter into the extent of having, after the regular classes were over, because his, again, the train to go to city was somewhere at 4:45 or 5. So another 10 minutes is to get.
Oh my God.
So four times. Each time, maybe 10 minutes, 5 minutes. But those who are interested, they could get the benefit of his learning. And he was passionate. We still very reverentially remember our sir, Madhur Chandrasekhar Avadhani Garu.
So Vedic learning during that time itself became the integral part of your routine itself.
Swami made it that way.
But what? And then, of course, the main motivation was only chanting in front of Swami.
Yes.
We went out of our way to find every minute to learn the Vedas so that we can get closer to Bhagavan.
Yes, yes.
And then chant in front
because
of
Because he himself is the Veda Purusha. Mm. The final objective of all of us learning the Vedic mantras or chanting Vedas, maybe to go closer to him spiritually.
And here, as students, you could physically go closer to Swami. I mean, that's what happens when avatar comes. The charm of the avatar is so alluring that, you know, as students, and you probably are willing to do anything for that. And I think that's what happened. And I think that one call from Swami, do you know, if you know, you can come on stage. I think that is what probably was going on in the back of your mind, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Every time you were snatching this 10 minutes before lunch, after lunch. So how many years did this happen?
This happened hardly for 1 year only. Mm. I mean, there. Then it was during our vacation time, we had come to Puttaparthi.
Okay.
After Dasara vacation, we had come from Vrindavan.
And during that period of time, one day Swami came out of the interview room and he says, why are you fellows wasting time here? Why can't you go and learn something from Kamadhani Garu? He said.
Ooh, okay.
So it directly came from Swami, like a boon. Mm. And Swami, see his compassion, he has arranged classes for us behind the Purnachandra auditorium, the rooms, where the used to be green rooms used to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Swami had arranged the classes there. And Kamadhani Garu used to come there to teach us morning after the bhajan. And we used to go on. And even again, afternoon we used to have.
In front of his house itself.
Correct.
Which was behind the East Prashanti.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Those small rooms small are there. Rooms, it's second room, I still remember that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And for us, Swami used to give us sudden inspection. Swami used to walk into the class. He used to sit there.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to individually make us chant. I still remember the Rudram, one of the classes. And he used to ask each one of us to chant. And when one of the boys told that, Swami, I will chant along with everybody else, Swami said, no, I will not agree for that. I want each one of you to learn and know.
And then I still remember that time he said, Vadu tinte neeg aakali teertunda. Will your hunger get satiated if the other person eats? If you have to get the benefit of the food, you have to eat. Similarly, if you have to get the benefit of Vedas, you have to chant. You have to learn to chant individually, perfectly.
Confidently.
Confidently.
Wow.
So it's not that in a group, if you are able to chant in group, that's good. At least better than nothing. But then that is not good enough for Swami. Mm. He wants individual perfection.
So Swami directed you to the teacher. Swami also directed you to the venue. I mean, when you think of it now, in the same place where Bhagavan stayed, that is where Vedic learning started.
See, Swami always says, no, you take one step towards me, I shall take 10.
Yes.
So when you had the initial urge, you have the mind, and Swami took care of the rest of the thing.
Wow.
So essentially we can tell, Bhagavan started Veda Patashala for the first time, not any other university or schools.
I think that is what only continues. Because all other education ultimately merges into the spiritual education.
Exactly.
All other vidya is best. They are just small little streams which will ultimately flow into the Atma Vidya, which is what Vedam is all about.
Ya Vidya Sa Vimukta.
Vimukta, yes. So,
but it's a challenge now for us to find that.
Yes.
Sometimes it is very apparent, sometimes it is not. With the modern education, in fact, the tools of the modern education should help us to find that path.
Correct.
That is our real goal,
challenge.
To find out and how we really integrate with the secular education, with the Vedic education, though that is the substratum, literally.
In fact, when you look at it, I mean, because Swami had encouraged this, fostered this, and propelled this in so many ways, through so many decades, that it actually became a part of the system.
And a movement.
And a movement. Yeah. So now you have so many students, even though Bhagavan's physical form is not there, they are happy being part of it. They are happy to learn. They are happy to, and of course, of the, say, 100 boys who take a lot of interest, probably maybe 20-30% will want to do a deeper study. So you have definitely a concentrated group of students who, when they leave the portals of the university, they are much more aware, they are much more open and much more inquisitive about the Vedic wisdom.
Inquisitive. And then the seed which Swami has put in,
yes,
may sprout at different times.
At different times.
Even the other students,
yes,
and even the, yes, these students may not,
yes,
have realized the entire,
correct,
import of the Vedic learning.
Yes.
Later on in their lives, they,
yes,
definitely realize.
Yes.
And I remember at least some of the boys now, after going there, they had not learnt Vedam when they were here. And then after they go there,
yes,
when the samiti members ask them to teach them Vedam because he's a Sai student.
Yes.
And then they feel ashamed and then they come back. They say, sir, can we have some sort of tutorial sessions?
Mm, wow.
So that is how from the students it started getting spread
into
even to the other devotees and across the country and globe.
So during that vacation, you had the chance to learn many more mantras, sir.
Many
from
more mantras. And interestingly, what is to happen is that Swami also allowed us, those days, I am talking about 77, 78, to be part of the Prashanti Vedam group, which used to go around Swami's mandir early in the morning with Kamavadani Garu.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a privilege we got.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the days the mantrams were fixed.
Mm-hmm.
There are only two mantrams. First day, Rudram is chanted. The second day, Chamakam and Purusha Suktam is chanted. Like that it used to go on. But now, Swami started asking Kamodani Garu, see, children have learned so many things. Why don't you chant those things also along with them? And to encourage us, I still remember that. So, all our new mantras, no, the Swami could hear, we wanted to chant loudly. And you know, those were the time when the morning Nagar Sangirtanam, especially the Vedam, it used to go just under Swami's bedroom.
Bedroom.
Okay.
That and time the voice decibel level used to go higher. And then we would see after we pass out and see Swami.
And suddenly we
see
that.
Swami's hair. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Swami used to come and stand near the window.
Near the window.
But the thing is, Kamadhani Garu, he'll be just bending his head and he'll be moving forward. But the moment we used to see Swami, we used to turn back. And we are fixed, rooted there. The whole thing, it will not move at all.
Oh.
And Kamadhani Garu would have gone front. And the Swami will be standing and say, go, go. And we won't go. Then Swami is to go off. Then of course we used to go. And again Swami is to come and watch where we are.
Wow.
So like that, Swami used to encourage us so much into learning. And I still remember morning when you used to come for darshan also, Swami used to ask us what you chanted today. So much of.
Oh.
So the encouragement what Swami gave was matchless, I'll tell you. And with that encouragement, when we went back to Vrindavan, we are excited so much, no? We have seen people doing Homa and all. So we wanted to do something on those lines.
Mm.
And what we did was, I still remember that excitement, no? We wanted to have the thrill of it.
Mm.
How you will feel like if you are on the stage doing the Yajnam. Still remember early morning, 4 o'clock, collecting all the wood, whatever is possible for us. And made a Homa Kundam for ourselves.
On your own?
Because I remember. And we only know because the way in which they chanted Rudram, how used to split and chant the, for the Homam sake, how used to add Swaha. It's a different way. So we had learned that way and we want to practice that. And we used to have our own Purnahuti. And it used to have its.
So you used to have your own Homa Kundam.
We used to have.
Oh my God.
That is the enthusiasm we had.
Wow.
And Swami also used to talk about it when he used to come to. Those were the times physically Swami used to be away in Parthi. So when he used to come back, and Swami used to discuss about that, what you people had.
Oh my God. Even though your secular education was happening, but that was actually just on the sidelines. Your whole focus was that time just to learn the mantrams as perfectly as you can,
in
so
fact,
that you can get one more moment with Swami.
In fact, you will not believe that. Only because of this, see, many people, each one has got their talent. And depending upon their talent, they used to physically used to be closer to Swami. Some people are good orators, some people are good singers, some people, I mean, each way,
yes,
some people, they're beautiful, they're artists,
yes,
they show their arts, Swami. But this only because of Vedam we got how many chances physically with Swami. Whenever Swami used to go to some place, I once in Belathur, there was a program was there in Whitefield, near closer. It is in a village. And Swami took us, all of us there. And innumerable number of instances when Swami took us to different places to chant Vedam. And the first time, I still remember, it was in 1977 or 78, Dasara, first day. Those were the days when Swami used to come on top of the balcony to hoist the flag.
Because Prashanti
flag hoisting marks the starting of any program those days, any function those days. So Dasara, it was the first day of Dasara, Swami used to come, and from the balcony, Swami used to address the gathering on top of the mandir. And I remember that suddenly Swami sent word
in the afternoon, and then few of us, six, seven of us, including Mr. Ravi Kumar, I remember. And then suddenly Swami sent word for us, for Vedam boys. So six, seven of us were fortunate to be part of that Vedam group and still there.
That is first time we are going upstairs to Swami's room.
The room above the current interview room, where Swami used to come and then discuss with everybody. Then we would come into the veranda and do it.
And so where the silver door is there.
Yes.
That silver
from
door.
From there,
because of course, now there is, in front of the silver door, there are huge kalashams
the domes
were not there at that time.
Yeah.
So that is the place where Swami used to address the gathering. So before starting that, Swami made us chant Vedam there. And it was such a wonderful, memorable.
Followed by a Padma Namaskar session.
That was in Parthi. And in back in Vrindavan, it was summer course time. Every day during summer course, Swami used to come, and the moment he gets down from the car, from the entrance, we had the privilege of chanting Vedam straight and taking Swami directly onto the stage.
So the procession.
Procession.
So every day it was
every
procession.
Every day procession.
And only Vedam.
Only Vedam.
Wow.
After that, of course, Swami used to invariably give us Pada Namaskar. So this is how, from the beginning, and the Gokulashtami function. Those were the days, the Gokulam was quite far.
In Vrindavan.
That is, in Vrindavan, it is quite far.
Behind college, where the coconut group is there currently. The end of the coconut group.
Okay.
Almost the end of the coconut group.
So from there, on the Gokulashtami day, all the cows used to be brought to the Vrindavan. And of course, what we have learned is very few mantras. So Swami said the Vedam boy should be there. And the thing is, we don't know much. But the loving Lord, see, he says, don't worry. If you have completed once chanting everything, repeat the same mantras again in the procession. Different people will be hearing what you are chanting. The people, those who are standing,
because they are moving, different people will be moving. So even if you repeat, no problem.
So they will think that you people know so much. That is how Swami used to encourage us.
Wow, fantastic. I think with time, as the colleges had so many new boys joining in the Prashantilam campus also, I think this Padnamaskaram which Bhagwan used to give after every time somebody got the opportunity to chant was one huge attraction, isn't it, Pranath?
Yes.
What was your initiation into Vedam, sir?
Although actually I had started learning Vedic mantras during my school days itself, when I was studying in my place, city near Karnataka, that is city in Karnataka, the Mangalore city. So over there, I started learning Vedic mantras. For continuous 4 years during the summer vacation time, I used to attend for 22 days each vacation time. So during that time, I could learn some of the Vedic mantras and even some of the other aspects also, including yoga and Sanskritam, etc. So that's how it continued. So after I could learn few mantras over there, then when I came here, I could see a lot of encouragement and also the motivation given by Swami himself. So that made me to learn more and more Vedic mantras. So here we could learn from even our own senior students, and some of the mantras we could learn on our own. That's how the lot of encouragement and also the motivation, guidance which Swami has given for us to learn more and more Vedic mantras made us what we are today actually. I still remember those days when Swami used to give chance for every function, every festival, invariably is to start with Vedic mantra, as all of us know about it. And boys is to really thrive to get one chance in front of Swami to chant Vedic mantra during such occasions. So that's how we used to have such good chances in small groups, maybe 10 or 12 students or maybe 15 sometime. So that's how it started. And even during summer course time also, every day before Swami's discourse could start, one group used to go and chant Vedic mantras. That's how we could see so many boys got chance to learn Vedic mantras and chant the same in front of Bhagwan and get Padmaskaram. That's how Swami really encouraged all these students to learn more Vedic mantras and used to bless them with Padmaskaram.
Vidyan sir, so when was the time you really had your dream fulfilled of going onto the stage?
It was again, there was some function in the Vrindavan. And that day one of the senior boys came, called and told that today we have to chant Rudram in front of Swami and we have selected you also. Rudram, I have not learned anything, so how am I going to do it? Of course, I never knew that he was just joking. He said, we are going to do Mantra Pushpam. That gave me a lot of relief because the only mantra I had learned by them was Mantra Pushpam. So that was the first time we had, and they found that the Shruti, what I was taking, was comfortable for everybody. So they made me in charge of taking the Shruti. So that was the first thing. And I still remember on the stage, when I started, Swami just looked at me. And after this thing is over, Swami gave Pada Namaskar. He just smiled. So that was the first thing in my life that, you know, on the stage, that I could chant in front of Swami.
And later on, of course, once the Dasara Yagnam started, when did Bhagwan...
Before that, I think something interesting happened, that after my post-graduation, when I came over here, of course, I had done my philosophy, and when I came over here, what had happened here, the philosophy department itself was not there. So Swami told me, go and start teaching Vedam for all the children in higher secondary school.
Vedam?
Yes. Specific so instruction it was.
So you are only teaching Vedam?
I was teaching one
that instruction
year.
Instruction from Bhagwan was teach Vedam.
For 1 year. In fact, I still remember that. It was, I think, the year 82. I used to go to college. Whenever there is a free period is there, principal used to send word for me. I used to go to that class. And I used to teach. This is how the en masse learning of the Vedam as an institution started in the year 1982. And every time I was instrumental, Swami made me instrument to teach them all, but they never had a chance to stand in front of Swami. And I still remember it was on a Vinayak Chaturthi day, principal told Swami, Swami, boys have learned Vedas. I think it was Narayana Suktam and Mantra Pushpam. And first Vinayak Chaturthi day, they all, en masse, they chanted, this only higher secondary school boys, they chanted the Narayana Suktam and Mantra Pushpam. Swami was supremely happy.
Wow.
And Swami came and told, boys are chanting very well. Baga chattunaru, Swami said. That was enough for me for a lifetime, I'll tell you. So it started with like that, and slowly, as say en masse, when boys started learning, naturally all the other institution also they started, because they found that Swami is giving lot of chance when boys are chanting Vedas is something new. Then during that period of time, Swami asked, what about Sri Suktam? Have we not learned Sri Suktam? We purposely avoided Sri Suktam because there was little confusion regarding the Sri Suktam. Because some people, different versions of Sri Suktam. So we don't want to confuse things. So we had never, actually when Swami was talking about the Vedas, Padmanabha Shastri was doing his puja inside the mandir, chanting Sri Suktam. So suddenly Swami asked, what about Sri Suktam? So of course it took some time for us to, then later when we heard the pandits, those who come here, how they chant Sri Suktam here, we just copied that and we learned the Sri Suktam.
But I still remember Swami often asking students to chant Sri Suktam. Yes. Apart from Rudram, Chamakam, Mantra Pushpam, etc. Very often Swami used to ask student to chant Sri Sukta.
So, in the higher secondary school, every student learned Vedam.
Yes.
And that continues even till this day, isn't it?
Yes. Now, Praveena sir has taken the lead and he is teaching everyone now.
But it's not merely in the higher secondary school. Now we can see in the primary school, in the institute, in the music college, everywhere Vedam being taught and Vedam is being chanted on a regular basis.
Regular basis.
It has been institutionalized now.
Yes.
All the Swami's institutions have developed their own models depending on the time and circumstances. For example, in the institute hostel, immediately after Suprabhatam, we have 4 or 5 minutes of chanting of Vedam, which is a part and parcel. So whatever they learn, they will chant. That's one part of it. Then we do not have a regular, everyday teaching of Vedam in the institute prayer session. But on Tuesday especially, we divide them into groups, each class, and then the senior students go there and teach Vedam, and it goes on in different classrooms. It's a beautiful modern Gurukula Patashala replicated.
I'm sure it's very rare to find such
at the university level with all MBA and the faculty members also sitting along with the students learning this Vedam. That's a beautiful thing that happens. We have institutionalized on one day a week. And for example, now prior to the international conference, now every day we are going to do that. And at night also we are now going to teach them because we cannot disturb any of the schedules. So 10 to 10:15, 10:20, we have a Vedam class where the students in their respective rooms, they chant just to give the impetus of learning for the next 12 days till the international conference.
Wow. You know, it just reminds me of how when you started learning Vedam, you
pre-lunch session, post-lunch session.
You snatch those 10 minutes to learn. That's how now you're able to put in those 10 minutes into the schedule of hundreds of students.
And Swami was very particular. I mean, this is again Swami's own this thing. He would not like anything to be disturbed.
Yes.
You have to ensure that whatever you want to do is not at the cost of something, but along with that.
Yes. You have to only optimally make use of the time.
Time which is available, the time which gets frittered away or which is lost, just whiling away. Yes. That time has to be fruitfully utilized.
And it's not merely going on in this campus here.
Yes.
But also we can see in Whitefield,
the Bhagavan's
girl students. Girl students also fully engrossed in learning this Vedic mantra, particularly now preparing for the coming upcoming conference.
So that was the first part of the discussion with Vednarayan sir, Shiv Shankar Sai sir, Praveena sir and Brother Ganesh. So you have a glimpse of how the Vedic learning began in Prashantinilayam, especially in Swami's colleges and in Swami's schools in the 70s. Of course, the story continues. You'll hear the next part of this discussion in the next week on Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Before we close, let me play one small Vedic hymn which Bhagwan often asks the students to chant.
Na karmana na prajayadhane natyage naike amritatva manashuhu paredhana kam nihitam guhayam vibhrajate tadyatayo vishamte Vedanta vijnana sunischitartha sanyasa yoga adyataya shuddha sattva te brahma loke tu para antakale paramrutat parimucchanti sarve daharam vipapam parameshma bhutam yat pundarekam puramadya saggastam Tatrapi daharam gaganam vishokastasmin yadantastadupasitavyam Yo vedadau swara prokto vedam teja pratisthitah Tasya prakutire nasya parasa maheshwarah.
So the meaning of what you just heard is, neither by actions nor by acquiring wealth or progeny, but by renunciation alone can immortality be attained. And that supreme state is far beyond the highest heaven, and the sages perceive it. Where do they perceive it? Hidden in the cave of the heart, shining brilliantly therein. those sages who have a clear understanding of the principles of Vedanta, who have purified themselves by means of the yoga of renunciation, and who are thus established in the state of supreme beatitude, they are totally liberated in Brahman at the time of dissolution of their bodies. Located in the center of the city of the body is the subtle lotus of the heart, pure and untainted, and that is the abode of the Supreme. Meditate on the Supreme Being residing in that inner expanse which is subtle and which is free from sorrow. And the last two lines of what you heard means, that which is described as the primordial sound in the beginning of the Vedas has been fully established as the Supreme Truth at the end of the Vedas, which is the Upanishads, the Vedanta, and that which has been established by Vedanta, that divinity which is right within you. It is there within you, it is there everywhere around you, it is beyond the physical realities. And who is that reality? He is none other than the Supreme Lord, Maheshwara. So you have the same Maheshwara, the Lord of the Lords, now urging all of us to chant these mantras, especially the Rudram. You will have more than 7,000 devotees together chanting the Rudram on November 20th and 21st, 2017 in the Sai Kurunth Hall in Prashant Nilayam. So more about all this in the next episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, next week, same time. Thank you so much for this opportunity, and it's time now to move on to the next segment. Afternoon Satsang, Brothers Prem and Arvind are waiting to take over. Thank you so much. Sadam.